Welcome everyone into the B Section Podcast. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined as always by Logan Hill and David Goff. Bit of a recap episode and wrap up episode, if you will, this week. Of course, first we're going to get into New York State track, how things went at states there. We'll talk Wyalusing baseball. And then the inaugural Desmond Street Duels took place over the weekend. So we'll get into all of that, kind of talk about where we'll be going in the future with this podcast, what's coming in the next few weeks, and just wrap everything up from the great spring season. Talk a little things national, and then get everyone out of here. So let's get things going, David. Talk to us about what went down at New York State Track and Field this weekend, or this past weekend.
Yeah, so it seems that in terms of covering Waverly Athletics specifically, that I could not have come up at a better time, because it seems to be a historic year for that athletic program. You had the football state championship. You had Troy Beeman winning the wrestling state championship. You had the Waverly boys basketball team making it to the state playoffs for the first time in like three decades. You had the softball team, you know, having a lot of massive comebacks to make the playoffs. You had the baseball team making the section championship. And then track, you get... you get three different gold medals at track. And it was a two-day event. Friday, I was there. It was a very, very rainy day. So there were two weather delays of over an hour long, which was brutal. But in the 100, Micah Chandler, he was, I think I mentioned it last week, he was kind of dealing with a little bit of a hamstring thing. He ended up going 16th place. Ralph Johnson came in as a number two seed. In the 100, he ran at 10.78. So that was his, and he was with that, he was a number one seed for going into the final. And then in the 200, Chandler decided, I'm going to skip that. He was qualified to participate in it, but he kind of sacrificed himself for the 4x100 later on in the day because he knew his hamstring was bothering him. Ralph Johnson runs a 21.71 in the 200 prelims, again, to get the number one seed on Saturday. So he put himself in a very good spot on Saturday. And then the event of the night, the 4x100 final in Division Two, it was under the lights, which it wasn't supposed to be, but it was cooler to be under the lights because of the delay and all that. Chandler comes in, he's the first leg of the race, does his job, gets to the Xavier Watson, who does his job, gets it to Colson Keithley, and then gets it to Ralph Johnson with plenty of time for Ralph Johnson to just, the way he runs is spectacular.
Cruise control.
And so they end up getting a time of 42.47. They get a state gold.
Awesome.
It was a really cool thing to see, and everybody was pretty glowing about Micah Chandler, just to know, like, it was his final high school race. He had been in the 4x100 so it's his freshman year, and for him to go out with the state gold and kind of sacrifice himself to be able to put himself in that position, and that 42.47 is their best time ever. So they won that race by like 0.34 over Christian Brother Academy.
Nothing
so,
like peaking at the right time with a personal best.
So that was very, very cool. And then on Saturday, we get some little bit of adversity because it was going to be Ralph Johnson's day. The 100 final and 200 final being the number one seed. And both, kid falls starts on the 100. Stinks to see that. I wonder how this is going to affect the rest of his day. And it only positively impacted his day somehow. Because in the 200 final, he runs a 21.52, which matched his lifetime best. He won the 200 final going away, state gold.
A lot of resilience.
Yeah, just absolutely resilient. And then, like, about an hour later, he's in the 200 Federation Final, which is take away the divisions and the classifications, all that. It's the fastest kids in that event in the state. He goes and wins that by 0.4 seconds.
Yeah, that's how you rebound, for sure. That's such a mental thing, too.
Yeah.
Come back from a false start in the biggest meet of your career.
And I haven't... Because this is my first year up here, I didn't really know Ralph Johnson that well. But in the several interviews I've done with him recently, it's like, if there's one kid who I knew could have the mental fortitude to get over the 100 and come back, it was him. He handles it really well.
One of the nicest kids I've interviewed since I've been here. And, there's been a lot, right?
That's but great.
One of the nicest that I've interviewed since I've been here. And he was so focused on his goal. I just remember from last season when I would talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, resilience is the word there. Yeah, no, that's crazy.
I mean, like, look, I can speak for Logan here. We love covering sports, yeah. And like that kind of resiliency, adversity, that's the best kind of story. You hate to see him mess up in that situation, and you know he's probably killing himself inside, in that moment too. But to see that resilience, and like to not keep saying that word over and over again, but the redemption kind of story is always awesome to see, and it was cool to see that, and he made the absolute most of it by going ahead and just saying, hey, I'll just go ahead and be the fastest guy in the state in the 200. So, and then the 4x100 Federation final, since since Waverly won the Division II final on Friday, they were the only Division II team in the Federation final on Saturday. They were seeded 7th out of the 8 teams. They finished it in 4th for a medal.
All right.
They got that in like 43.13, so not their best time. But there was also, as the third leg was going into the fourth leg, there were two teams that kind of like collided with each other.
Okay.
So it was kind of awkward, but really benefited Waverly to get that medal.
Okay.
I think Waverly head coach Dave Hogan has used the word special a million times this season, but I mean, it was a special.
It checks out.
It was a special weekend for them because they had never had a sprinter quite like Ralph Johnson and Micah Chandler's story of just being like, hey, you know what? I'm going to save myself for the 4x100 so we can get that state gold. Just a very successful weekend for Waverly track and field.
Yeah. And a big shout out and congratulations to the boys 4x100 meter team and then Ralph Johnson, two different 200 meter golds.
Yes. And he said he wanted to get 3 state golds when he got there and didn't really go the way he expected it to go, but he still got 3 state golds.
Absolutely.
And that's Waverly's side of it. Tioga had Gavin Albrecht, a sophomore pole vaulter. He didn't quite get where he wanted to go with it. He ended up getting over the 13 feet bar. And then just wasn't able to get over 13.6, so he bowed out then. He finished in 14th place in Division II, 29th overall. I think there was like a tie at the top. Was two guys had 16 feet clearing. And actually, the highest seed, his best of the season, was like 17.1, and the highest bar, I can't speak it right now. Like, the highest bar to clear on that day was 16 feet.
Okay.
So, so maybe not quite what Gavin Albrecht was hoping for, but again, he's made almost a 2 feet improvement in one season. He's a sophomore. They only expect him to get better.
Yeah, expectations are still high for Gavin, and still a heck of a season. Something he should be congratulated for. Again, not quite what his goals wanted, but like you said, only a sophomore.
Yeah.
Plenty more still to come from him, and still a state run.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
one thing I think that we gloss over when we talk about track and field events specifically is like these heights.
Yeah,
like. Mm-hmm. Oh, he only pole vaulted 13 feet. Like, he didn't get to 14 feet. Like, that is so high in the air. Yeah. And, like, you'll see, like, there was a high jumper at PA State Track that was going for, like, 7 feet, it felt like.
Yeah.
Maybe not that high, but it might as well have been. Like, they jumped 6'6 that day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's an NBA player.
Unreal.
I don't know the numbers of the high jump at States this past weekend because I don't have any kids to cover. But I was like, I would occasionally just look over in that direction, and I saw how high the high the bar was, and how high people were actually clearing it. I hadn't seen the bar that high all season in track, so I was just like crazy. Yeah,
the endless amount of work on technique that goes into it, like something like pole vaulting or high jumping, or
it's
just endless amount of technique.
I feel like I feel like if there's a track event I would want to try out, it'd be pole vaulting. It just seems really fun to do.
They'd probably tell you you're too tall.
I know. I think that would be the problem.
But if you can get up at that height, you're going to clear a little more. So
I think
it might be your sport.
Also, I think pole vaulting takes a very, very long part of the day. It goes on forever.
So that wraps it up for track this season. Again, congratulations to all those who went to states, mm-hmm. qualified, and medaled. The 4x100 for Waverly for the boys, and Ralph Johnson in the 200. And then, of course, a shout-out to Gavin Ulrich, who's still tremendous season. Didn't quite reach the goals he set for himself. We want to make that clear. Those were Gavin's expectations on himself, and you only know a kid like that's going to work that much harder for the next 2 years to reach him. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the Daily Review side of things, Wyalusing Baseball was still in it as of last week. Talk to us a little bit about their journey and what's going on with the Rams.
Yeah, so the Rams, they had some magic to end last week. We recorded last Wednesday. They played Thursday night, and they played again this past Monday. They lose in that game, but to get there in the quarterfinals, they played down at Walter Stump Stadium down in the Pine Grove area, about a 2.5 hour trip from up here in Bradford County, and they were up 1-0 after the third inning. It was a defensive grudge match of a baseball game. They go up 1-0 after the third inning. Kenny Mapes hits a double to, I believe it was Trenton Hugo. He drove in from second, so they traded places. That's one of my favorite little baseball terms to use, trade places. So they traded places, and it was 1-0. Hugo was dealing on the mound. I'm pretty sure he finished with 9 strikeouts. If it wasn't 9, it was 8. And they're up 1-0. Hugo reaches his pitch limit. They make their pitching changes, and I think he had left a runner on, maybe, and so the new pitcher comes on and inherits him. They're able to bring a run in. That is Calvary Christian. That's a tongue twister. You wouldn't think it would be, then you try to say it. They're able to bring a run in to tie the game at 1, and so it's 1-1 in the top of the 7th. While Lucien's able to get out of it, they need a run to win the game, or you're looking at extras. This game was already pushed back due to weather earlier in the day. It didn't get started till about 7 o'clock. It was, like I said, it was a 2.5 hour bus trip, so that takes some time to adjust after you get off. They come out for the bottom of the 7th. Isaac Schaefer gets on base to start the inning. Nine-hole hitter gets on base to start the inning. He moves over to second. They can't get any dice. He gets over to second. I believe Hugo gets intentionally walked to first base. And then I can't remember off the top of my head, but Hugo and Schaefer both move ahead. So Schaefer's on third, Hugo's on second. They have two outs. Back to the plate comes Kenny Mapes. He had a ball that he hit after his double that looked like it was going to be a hit too. The right fielder made a great play on it for the Cougars to keep the score where it was. And then he hits it, and it's dark out. The lights are showing. It's under the lights now at this point. And the shortstop for Calvary Christian looks back. He tracks it. He can't get to it. The left fielder comes up. He can't get to it. Ball drops down. It's an error, but the ball hits the ground, and Schaefer comes in to score while Lucien walks it off. It's a game-winning error, I guess, but you look
it's
at it.
It's a game-winner regardless.
When you talk about it 10 years from now, it was a game-winning hit.
Absolutely.
And talking to Coach Nick Vanderpool afterwards, he said the baseball gods paid him back. That's what you heard a lot, like the baseball gods giveth and the baseball gods taketh away.
Yeah, so. And 30 years from now, when all those guys are talking in one of their buddies' garages, no one's talking about errors.
Yeah,
that's a game-winning walk-off hit.
So he got the walk-off. I was able to talk to him. I was able to talk to Trennan after his pitching performance. And then they set up a date in the semifinals with Tri-Valley. That was at Central Columbia on Monday. That was a little bit closer. And quite frankly, Tri-Valley just came out and put the game away early. They hit the ball all over the yard. They had 4 runs after an inning. They had 3 more after 2, so they were up 7-0. They ended up going up 14-0, and the game ended after 5. So not the way you want to finish things up, but it's weird might not be the right term for it, but you made it to the state semifinals.
Absolutely.
Like, it stinks to go out the way that we did, but you have to also in that moment take a look at the run you just went on. Like, I remember talking to them, to Coach Vanderpool, after they lost to Elk Lake. Their regular season finale was a game that was supposed to be at Elk Lake. The weather got it moved to Wyalusing. It was like a de facto extra senior day. They lost, and then they won like 5 or 6 straight all postseason play. They won a district final, back-to-back district finals for the Wyalusing Rams, and then they won their first state playoff game at home. Then they won another. So you win 3 district playoff games and 2 state games.
And we've talked about it on here in the last 2 weeks. Coming off of a season where you lose maybe the best player on your team that Wyalusing's seen in a decade.
One of the better players this county's probably ever seen.
Absolutely. And what do? You bounce back with exactly the run you talked about.
Is the name that we're referring to. That was the interesting thing is this run continued, right? Is because, and I think I've said it before, is okay, so he moves on. He was your ace pitcher. He went to Wake Forest, but everybody else for the most part came back. Pretty much the entire infield from last year, as far as I can tell, was back. You had Parker Petlock, who played some third. He played some second base. CJ Carr, who played second. He pitched. Both of those guys pitched sometimes. Hugo, when he wasn't pitching, was out at short. You had Mapes was either playing first or third. Hunter House, when he wasn't on the mound, he really came on as a postseason guy for them. He was kind of the ace down the stretch here. down the postseason run for while losing. He would play first when he wasn't on the mound. Isaac Schaefer behind the mound, lefty catcher, lefty pitcher, lefty catcher when it was House and Schaefer going to work. And then even in the outfield, you had Casey God, top three name that I've covered since I've been here, just on name alone. Nick Vanderpool Jr. out in the center field. And then Logan Norton, I believe, played a lot of left field for them this year. And then you had a guy like Caden Kuzmierz, who DH'd, but aggressive hitter and found a way to get on base more often than not. So I think they'll graduate seven seniors from this class. So that group is kind of now done, right? Like Blake and I believe Rob English was his name, or Bob English, whatever he went by. They were both seniors last year. They move on. Now another crop comes through. Well, and that's what...
What a 2 years to give your community and your fans and baseball and Wyalusing for the last 2 year stretch has been one for the books.
And that's what Nick Vanderpool said. He said, this will probably go down... if not the best, the second best group that to ever come through while losing baseball, just be, in terms of what they accomplished. So, I mean, that would take some history book digging to find, but I mean, all those accolades we just listed off, you can't mistake it. And while losing, it was interesting to watch their postseason run, because all year in the league, they were kind of on the border of the third or the second team, right? Like, they didn't win the league title. I believe Canton won the league, or Troy might have won the league title when it all came down to it, but Canton went on such a run to start the season. Troy came on. They were hitting the ball everywhere, and Wyalusing kind of had to figure some things out. Now, they had some great games where they hit the ball all over the yard as well. I like that saying, too. See, they teach you in journalism school, like, cliches are bad. Don't use them. They're there for a reason. I love them sometimes.
They work.
But, like, I think it was 17-5 game against Towanda, where they were up, like, 7-0 after one inning comes to mind. But just interesting to watch the season unfold from beginning to end, because my first season up here was spring last year, and I got started, like, the third game of the season around the league. And it was cool to just, from beginning to end, know a little bit about this team and then watch how they started and what they became. So, yeah, they bowed out one game shy of the state final. That would have been Thursday at State College, so save me another long drive in this
a lot of driving
season.
For you the last couple weeks.
I couldn't believe when you said that if they had made it would be like 10:30 in the morning.
10:30 at State College. My assumption is they do all the championship games there. So that's why it would be early.
Seems like you,
well, and school's out at this point like across the state for the most part. So it does feel early.
So a big congratulations. And once again, a huge shout out to this run by the Wyalusing Rams. Seven seniors moving on. We'll wish them nothing but the best, and they gave us a lot to enjoy. And certainly they put Logan to work the last couple of years. So big shout out to the Wyalusing Rams.
You do good things.
Absolutely.
We're going to be there.
So we'll move on to the final thing on our high school docket, and it's something we were all able to go down and check out this past weekend, and that's the inaugural Duels on Desmond. Awesome event. Very big community-driven event. I know Pat McDonald and Dustin Bishop and some of those guys put a lot of work into it. It looked great. It felt great. It was under the lights right down here in Sayre on Desmond Street. It was the New York State Section 4 All-Stars versus the NTL All-Stars out of Pennsylvania. Now, when I say All-Stars, it was the best of the best of whoever one was able to get there. And they had a lot of really good wrestlers down there this past weekend. What stood out to you guys the most?
Just before anyone else goes, Kyle Williams like spearheaded the project.
Yeah, Williams.
And then Aaron Roppers was someone that they said. So it was that group before. You said Dustin Bishop, Pat McDonald.
Kyle Williams and Aaron Roppers.
And Kyle Williams also shouted out his 9-year-old son, said that he did a lot of the IT and digital marketing. So
there you go. Love it.
I can't be remiss if I didn't mention that. But it was... I got there probably around 4:30. The wrestling started around 5 from youth level all the way up. And it was just, look, when I moved here and I quickly found out wrestling's big, man. People come out for wrestling. I saw that during the high school winter season. And then I was like, okay, this sounds like it's going to be a really cool day. And it just was in every facet.
From the weather. I mean, there's your weather report this week. For the first time on this podcast, we get to say the weather was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was about as perfect as you could have for an event like that. And
they may never have a better night ever again.
That's what they were saying afterwards, is like, the weather was so perfect, we'll never be able to get this weather perfect again.
Yeah, they had the lights strung up around the mat. You had, like you said, you had youth participating, you had girls participating, and then the boys were the showcase at night around 8:30 or so, I think. They went on, finished up. I think I was back at my house about 11. So it was a good...
I got home about midnight, so that sounds right.
Good. They had vendors down there. Everything you could have hoped for this event, or a community-type driven event like this, it looked the part and the wrestlers showed out, that's for sure. Who did you guys, any particular matches that you guys remember watching that really stood out to you?
Well, it'd be remiss not to say Waverly and Mathias Wells versus yes. Athens.
Waverly versus Athens.
It felt like the atmosphere around it felt more intense than some of the regular season matches I saw, just because of Waverly Athens little rivalry kind of thing. And I don't know what to say about it, but it was just a really cool thing to watch.
I have an opportunity to shout out my Tioga guys, but I'm actually going to go a different direction. The wrestler who impressed me the most that night was Colton Wade from Sullivan County.
Suco,
as we call it here. He had to wrestle twice. He was originally scheduled to wrestle Logan Bellis out of Tioga. However, Jaden Duncanson was a late entry to the event. Didn't have anyone to participate again. You want everyone you can get to be involved in this. So Colton Wade stepped up and said, hey, I'll wrestle twice. Put me at the beginning and put me at the end. And I think that says a lot about someone's character. I think it says a lot about their competitive edge. And he lost the first one in dramatic fashion to Jaden Duncanson within the last 8 seconds. And then he came back and dominated his second performance against Logan Bellis. So that would have been a guy who really stood out to me. And apparently, talking to you, Logan, before we went on the air, only a junior, still going. So I'll be really interested in watching his run in his senior year.
I had a chance to talk to him a couple times down at PA States this year, and just one of the most driven
athletes. Could tell.
And wrestlers typically are your more driven guys, because you have to be, guys or girls, you have to be so aware of what you're putting in your body, what weight you're maintaining, how you're training, how in shape you are. And he's just one of the most driven guys who's like just out there to compete. He's not out there for the flair. He's not out there for the look at me. He's out there to just go and try and dominate. So yeah, he's super, super exciting. And like you said, to step up and wrestle two matches there, I mean, ooh, you got something to hang around for. Like, I'm sure some wrestlers stayed to the very end, but like if you wrestled early, maybe you don't want to stay to the very end. He was there to help out for Team
And those guys are used to wrestling multiple matches in tournaments.
Yeah.
In December.
Yeah, no, yeah.
out in June, outside, I don't know, might feel a little differently, but kudos to him. And he just one of many that really stood out. Anything else with the Desert
for
Street
me,
Duels? What was the, do we have the final total?
I do.
What do you got?
In terms of scores? Team PA won 2-1, youth girls.
Yep.
Because Team New York won the boys' duels,
okay.
But I'll pull that up right now. But what I was going to say, though, is there's not maybe many specific matches that stick out to me, but it would be like the stretch of wrestlers I've covered, wrestlers I've seen.
Right.
So like Wade was a good example, but I even think back to some of the girls' matches. Like there was a stretch where I think there was three consecutive Valley wrestlers. I think it was Hannah Rathbun, Emma Renninger, and Layla Bennett, maybe not in that order, but just back to back to back, they all represented the Valley at States this year in girls wrestling, and then I think they all won their matches in the duels on Desmond, so it's a continually growing sport. There was a state champ came out from Panther Valley. She wrestled in the last match of the night.
Yeah, she was
so
impressive.
You were here already.
Yep.
But elsewhere, I mean, we talked Caleb Nason, Mathias Wells.
That was a really good
couple
one.
Couple of Tawanda guys and Riley Slider.
Your first look at Caden Bellis.
Vanderpool. First time I'd seen Caden Bellis, and he delivered. I mean, you guys said it. He's going to Penn
going
to wrestle. So the final scores, it was team in the girls, it was Team PA 48, Team New York 36. It was close coming down to it, and then PA took the last three matches to pull back away. On the boys' side, the final was, I have them all here. On the boys' side, the final was Team New York 43, Team PA 31. And that one was close, too, into the final matches.
Yeah, a couple pins got PA back in the mix.
So, yeah, I mean, just looking at the list, I mean, Mason Alexander for Northeast Bradford, Anaya Kolasar for Northeast Bradford. She, I believe, medaled at States. I think she was fourth or fifth.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look. Maybe sixth. I'd have to go back and look exactly. But she was the first girls' high school match of the day, and she got a win. So, really, and that was the cool thing. Like you said, it was New York versus PA. It was the perfect style because there's enough schools that are close on the New York side. And then PA-wise, you can bring the Athens. You can bring Sarah. Jordan Brown for Sarah also wrestled.
Yeah.
You can bring Sarah. You can bring Athens. Tawanda, Northeast Bradford. Even Sullivan County guys came out for it. So, and that was such the cool thing is like this is just up here in little old Sayre and the draw it got of people coming up for
and it was always fun anytime there was area wrestlers that would get out there against each other. You could feel the vibe get a little bit more intense in the crowd, and a lot of vocal fans that turned out, which is always makes it that much more fun.
So I got back from Cicero, North Syracuse around 6 o'clock on Saturday night. So, I mean, shout out to Logan for covering the event.
Yeah.
Logan shot it for us. Both of you in the Times because I...
Big day here for Logan.
He's like, I literally live three blocks away from where this was taking place. Yeah. So I'm like, I got back, you know, like 6 o'clock. I'm like, you know, I'm not covered. I don't have to cover it, but I might as well just walk over and see what's going on. It was cooler than what I was even anticipating it was going
to
be.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys who put it on.
We peeled back the curtain last week. I will again for a second here. I forgot that this was last weekend. I knew it was coming up in June. I thought it was maybe a weekend later. And so I think it was Thursday. I realized that's on Saturday. And I was on my way back from a 2.5 hour trip to Waterloo. And I was like, oh my goodness. But it could not have been a more fun event for someone that I couldn't have told you five things about wrestling this time a year ago. So,
well, Logan and I are in a very similar boat with that.
it was a very enjoyable event. It brought the community out, and it's one of those events, you know, an event has gone well when the second it's over, it's like, okay, what's the plan for next year?
And that's what it's about. It's growing the sport. Like you both just talked about before you moved here, Wrestling, not even on your radar. Now you're both coming down, like you said, David, just to check it out, even though you're not covering, because it's, that type of event in the community brings everyone into downtown, showcases these kids, showcases a sport that you want to grow, and it gets people invested and interested. And that's what you want it to do.
One last thing that I think is important to mention is obviously there was money collected at an event like this, but it's not being kept for profit. Basically, they're going to distribute some of the money for scholarships on both sides of the border. I believe they said they got sponsors to step in and provide the singlets for the kids. So that was like a couple weeks back. They were like, let's get singlets for all the kids. So that was really cool. They had blue or they had red, and it was Team New York or Team PA. That really brings it all together too. Though the more that I think about it, as I sit here, it would have been cool to see like old NBA style All-Star games, like how they all wear their jerseys.
They just wear their team stuff.
Yeah. I was honestly anticipating that before I walked over, that they'd be wearing Tioga, Waverly, and Athens and Sarah.
I was hoping maybe Caden Bells would go out there in like a Penn singlet or something like that.
I think I was wearing a Penn t-shirt over it.
Yeah, he was.
But and I don't know if you
guys
noticed
that. That's such a flex too, by the way.
The little details. He had a pair of shorts on that had like the New York subway system.
Oh, okay.
So like even going that much further. But it was a great event, and the wrestlers that competed, it didn't cost them anything to be a part of it.
And it's just going to, the way that went, it's just going to get bigger. Yeah. I mean, it was that successful with that good of a turnout. It's just going to grow now that they saw how successful this can be.
This is more specific and niche to us with it being the NTL versus Section 4, basically.
Right.
But it reminded me a lot of the Big 33 football games, which is the high school football games that take place. And so that used to always be in Hershey, but now like Cumberland High School. Anyway, but it's like the best Pennsylvania high school football players versus the best Ohio or Maryland high school football players. That's the vibe it really kind of gave
me. It's so funny when you say that, you say the Big 33 and where it took place for you. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I watched the Big 30 game in Bradford, PA, which was Pennsylvania versus New York.
Okay.
So I get exactly where you come from and the exact same vibes. Yeah. But it's funny to hear when you talk about it, the Big 33 versus another state in another area. And I'm like, I think he means the Big 30. Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay. Yeah, it definitely had that type of feeling. Hopefully it can turn into something more like that, too. That's about wraps it up for high school this calendar year for us. That's it, right, boy? I mean, that's the spring season. Yep. We made it through another successful year. First full year of this pod in terms of high school sports. And now we go into the summer, and I think it makes sense, and we're going to talk about this just on the fly right here. I think it makes sense for us to take a little bit of a break to kind of regroup, decide what we want to fix, what works, what doesn't work, and then obviously wait for more sports to come back into our lives on the high school level, because that's what you guys are listening to.
And that's the biggest thing is, I love doing this every week. I think you guys will say the same. It's fun to get on here and talk about the pro teams and the college teams, but there's a million podcasts out there that do that.
Exactly.
And what we're telling
you are actually experts covering those teams.
What we're telling you is not anything that you can't get and can't get somewhere better than somewhere else. But what we can bring is the high school stuff, which we're covering every single day for the most part. And with that gone for the summer, we'll be back in the fall. Definitely. We'll probably be back sooner than that, but with the high school coverage, it'll come back in the fall. If you're asking me to come out here and do little league scores on this podcast, that's not as feasible to get done, but we'll be out at the little league games here and there, but do a weekly podcast about it might be a little,
If I had to guess and look for this in the paper, copy of the Morning Times or the Daily Review, we'll eventually put out when we'll be back with a little promo ad to make sure you're all aware when we do go back on air for the next fall season. But I assume, if I had to guess right now, it'd be around the time where we start to preview the upcoming football season.
I was looking at it when I was editing. I believe our last episode was episode 40, so that'll make this episode 41. I believe we took maybe a 1 week break, maybe
right
a
around March
break.
Madness, I think.
Maybe a 2 week break. So every week we've just, and that's what this is here for. Like, the consistency is one of the biggest things in something like podcasting. So it's been a lot of work, but it's been one of the fun parts of the
nice
the job
thing
to be able
in the
to
week.
Come on here and talk.
So we'll be back sometime, I would guess, probably in mid to late August.
We have an update.
Breaking news.
It's an 800 number. Please disregard.
Okay. Spam.
We need to dive back into that as your ringtone, though. I kind of love it.
It is.
What sound was that? I can't, off the top of my head.
Can't figure
I
don't know. It out.
Was it the college basketball?
It's college basketball on CBS.
Yeah.
I got it like a few years ago.
Right after I said March Madness.
Lime wired it.
Yeah, Lime wired
it. It was an iTunes thing.
Okay.
So we'll be back sometime in August to start previewing the upcoming football season in both Pennsylvania and New York. Other than that, we're going to take a little break. Before we do that, we'll rapid fire through the Philly Minute. We'll talk real quick NBA Finals and NHL Finals and
how your baseball team's doing.
And how the MLB season's going before we don't see you again for a little bit. So are we ready for the Philly Minute?
We are ready. Are you ready?
I don't know. Logan should be ready. He's wearing a Philadelphia hat.
Yeah, I gotta rep the Philly Minute.
The Water
today.
Dogs. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. I don't have too much, but the London series was very, very cool. The Phillies and Mets just played in London over the past weekend, and it just seemed like an awesome time. And the games were cool. The Sunday games stunk because the Phillies blew what a game that they should have won. But the Phillies are just doing what they're supposed to be doing and winning games. And, you know, I really.
What did you think of the London environment?
I thought it was awesome. And it was
very pro Philly, right?
It really was. And like ESPN and Fox, the non-biased broadcast teams were saying as much as like it was very heavy Philadelphia, which made it a lot more fun to watch as a Phillies fan. Like if it was Mets fans taking over, it'd be a little less exciting.
You didn't mute Michael Kay, did you?
I wanted to.
Michael Kay calling non-Yankees games will always be foreign, but
the shame of it is I love Doug Glanville and Tim Kirkshen, but as the color commentators,
I've met him.
Yeah, you mentioned that, but Michael Kay, not fun. I don't like listening to him. We've
talked about that a little bit too. Just the idea of a commentator who covers a team solely every day, then having to cover teams that he doesn't commentate on teams he doesn't cover. Yeah. It's going to sound weird. And I don't think
he also sometimes
doesn't make sense. I think they ran out of guys.
Yeah. Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
Cause you're ESPN. Like, come on. the only thing, and we're so far past the Philly Minute because we're just talking ball now.
We're just talking ball.
The Philly Minute extended.
the thing that really annoyed me about Michael Kay is he says Schwarber like Schwarber.
Schwarber.
And then he called Castellanos Castellanos. I'm like, just learn. You're a Major League Baseball broadcaster. Come
on, time.
Man.
He's calling games for the team with the best record in baseball every day. What do you want him to do?
Who's on top right now? The Phillies or Yankees?
The Yankees.
Are they?
Yes. 48-21.
The Yankees are the best.
That's what I was doing. That's why the Philly Minute went a little long. I was looking at records. Phillies 46-20 at the time of this recording. Yankees 48-21. Orioles 44-22.
So the Yankees are a little bit ahead of the Phillies.
We're on each other's heels.
But the Phillies are 10 games ahead of the Braves in the division, which is nuts.
Yeah, that nobody anticipated.
Yeah. The Braves lost, I think, they either got swept or lost 3 or 4 to the Nationals this weekend, which is a huge help for the Phillies. So
that can just transition right to how's your team doing. Yankees obviously sitting pretty, best record in baseball. A little bit of a Juan Soto scare, but it looks like he's going to be all right. I think Juan Soto is top 3 in Major League Baseball on average. Judge is the home run leader, as well as I think top 2 in RBIs. Carlos Rodon, 1 win behind Ranger Suarez for the most wins in Major League Baseball. And the Yankees don't even have Gerrit Cole back. So Rodon getting off to that kind of start certainly bodes well for their pitching staff.
And then what do you have? Gil? He was also really good. So
yeah, he came out of nowhere. So the pitching staff's come on a little better, which is contributing to a lot of these wins. But
crunching the numbers, Aaron Judge, you said home run leader.
Home run leader.
Number two, Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah.
But then number six, Juan Soto, 17. Number nine, Giancarlo Stanton, 16. And then Bryce Harper comes in at 11 with 15 right now, tied for 11.
Yeah, the but old...
three guys in the top 10.
The Bronx Bombers moniker might be back and appropriate.
Yeah. Short porch.
Absolutely. Left-handed hitter's dream park.
The only other record I wrote down, because I felt like it was important to mention, the Chicago White Sox, 17-57. Yeah,
bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, they had, what, a 14-game losing streak in there?
They ended it. They split with the Red Sox over the weekend. Because one of my friends back home is he's a Red Sox Celtics fan.
Okay.
So he was all happy about the Celtics win, but he was like miserable about the Red Sox because they had lost that day.
What was the first win the White Sox had after that winning streak? They were going to win it. They were up 5 runs in the ninth inning, but the left fielder just dropped the third out. It was like, of course they do.
So we're going on a little break till about August. When we come back, where do we think we'll all be in terms of our teams and the standings?
I think
Philly's still comfortably the NL East.
I don't know. I wouldn't say comfortably because I don't think the Braves are just playing poorly right now.
Well, plus they lost Acuna, right?
Yeah, and the Phillies just lost JT Realmuto for about a month.
I was going to mention that. I put that in the paper last night.
Yeah, so they lost him. Trey Turner hasn't come back yet.
Okay.
So we'll see. I think the Phillies will still have a division lead. Maybe like 4 or 5.
Will they still be the best team in the NL?
I would say the Dodgers probably, and then I'm not even saying like I don't have any lack of optimism with the Phillies this year. I think they're legitimately good and they should win a World Series. Like that's how I come as a Phillies fan. I think they absolutely can and
You're
should
a Phillies
win.
Phillies fan?
You say that all the time.
It's funny every time.
It's overplayed.
But it's funny every time.
It's as if we have a minute for you.
It's funny every time.
But yeah, but just from my viewpoint, because I know you guys obviously think your team should win the World Series as well. But for
I need to see him win a playoff game before I can believe that.
With the Phillies have done the last couple of years, like this year, they just need to do it. I have all the confidence in the world that they should be able to do it. That said, the Dodgers are the Dodgers.
They're there.
Well, hasn't the last couple seasons, the regular seasons at least, the Phillies have kind of...
not been good.
I was going to say underwhelmed, but got in as a wild card or got in.
Both of the 2022 and 2023, their first 2 months of the season were train wrecks. And then but to their credit, the last 4 months of the regular season, they were some of the best teams in baseball. They just, no one knew it because their record didn't show it.
Yeah, looking at the NL records, the Dodgers are the only team that's really in striking distance right now. The Brewers are at 39-28, but...
And the Phillies just swept the Brewers last week.
And I don't see, without Acuna or Strider pitching, I don't see the Braves becoming that team again that they've been for the last two seasons.
But the Braves...
But you never know.
The Braves won a World Series the last time Acuna tore his ACL. Yeah.
Very briefly, before I answer your original question, the Pirates, Paul Skeens, kind of been taking the MLB by storm a little bit since he came up.
The Cardinals gave him a standing ovation, which is weird.
I think he went, six scoreless?
I don't know if we talked about it last week. Maybe we did. Forgive me if we did. Did you see his stretch against the Dodgers?
When he
struck out Ohtani?
He's real. I mean, Paul Skeens is real.
I think he struck out the side, right? In that inning where he went.
Yeah, and he faced all three of the meat of that lineup. It was awesome. Him versus Ohtani, the whole game was fun.
Yeah, but that was incredible baseball because he struck Ohtani. Ohtani swung and missed three straight times, and then he comes back out
and then he hits the home run the next one. So
dead center.
The Pirates fans, I know it's been up and down and mostly down for a long time.
You got something to
look forward
Hanging
to.
Hanging right around 500 right now, 32-34.
And there's some other guys on that team, too. O'Neill Cruz is still very young, will be very fun for them. Key Brian Haynes. The Pirates can be good if they get it together.
I mean, there are teams like the White Sox and A's and stuff. You have no hope or anything like that. The Pirates have something fun.
They're also playing in the division in the NL that's a little bit more wide
open.
So they're in the NL Central. The Brewers lead it right now 39-28, but the Pirates are in second 32-34. So they're right there.
Wow. In August, will the Orioles be looking to get in as a wild card or will they be back in control of the AL East?
They will have taken over control of the AL East.
Okay.
It'll be similar to how it played out a season ago when, if you remember, the Tampa Bay Rays started out 7-0 or 13-0, something like that. They started out really well, and they had a division lead pretty much all the way up through August, and then the Orioles just hawked them down, and I see that one coming again because as good as these Yankees are, and don't hold me to this season specifically because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but this version of the Yankees – has kind of struggled against this version of the Orioles. I remember a couple of times last season.
They've already lost a series to them.
Yep, so already lost a series. So you'll play some more of those games. I don't think the Rays are as good this year as they've been in years past. I think the Blue Jays are just the Blue Jays until they prove to somebody that they're deserved to be respected for real.
They just traded Kevin Biggio to the Giants today.
I will jump in there because I think that's the nail on the head. It's going to be Yankees-Orioles or Orioles-Yankees, and we're both getting in because once this season, the AL East, the rest is kind of has taken a slide this season a little bit.
The Red Sox, the only team we didn't mention, they've been pretty much 500 since
The Blue Jays are a disappointment. The Rays are not that weird playoff run Rays you've seen in years past. So I think by default, we'll both be jockeying for the division, but we're both going to get comfortably in is how I would see it in August. Yeah. Anyone have an MVP guess? We're going to go off here for 2.5 months. Anyone? I think,
well, Judge has kind of put himself back there.
If he continues at the pace he's got, he's going to win the MVP because he's going to be approaching the MLB home run record if he keeps going.
I think we're going to actually end up in August coming back and saying it's Juan Soto.
You think so?
I think
he has less of a chance based on what he does all around for it to go south than Judge.
Judge has just been, it's hard not to say Judge right now because.
Today it'd be Judge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think. Maybe Oriole bias, but
Gunnar Henderson
does have a case at it. Absolutely. Any second in the home run. So, but it could just as easily be a Judge. It could be a Soto. I don't know who on the Phillies has a case right now.
Harper is legitimate, right?
He was top 11.
He was a National League Player of the Month in May, which is funny because I didn't think he was like that great, which tells you he has another level to
him. I think the more interesting thing with the Phillies would be to keep an eye on Ranger Suarez for Cy Young.
Yeah. Well, they might have three Cy Young finalists.
But he's got the lead if he can hang on and keep pitching the way he's pitched. Because sometimes that Cy Young, it ends up being someone you just didn't see in the beginning of the year, and he'd be a perfect candidate for that.
I don't want to say the shame of it, because Ranger winning the Cy Young would be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Zach Wheeler deserves a Cy Young in his career.
all around the last few years, right?
But on that note, who do you see as the NL MVP?
The NL?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They do one per league, right?
Oh, man. That's a really good question.
Because, Harper has a legitimate case. He's just one player of the month, but I also
we're projecting this, and this will be August.
Yeah.
That's the thing is I don't think Shohei because he's not playing in the field right now.
No, it won't be the same as before because he's not doing both.
I can't think of an.
That's a tough one. It's a good question. Is Mookie Betts being Mookie Betts?
I'm not entirely sure.
That would be my guess.
Yeah,
because we don't have a Brave, which would be a normal. There's only
four teams in the National League with a winning record.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
we don't have that.
That's
standout.
Terrible.
It's really bad.
That's terrible.
But on the same note, the American League has six, I think. So that might be wrong. Well, but
I was gonna say, but they have four teams with a winning record, and the White Sox aren't even in the NL.
No, that's bad.
I'm looking on that. Continue on your thought.
I don't have a thought. But the Brewers don't have anyone special.
Yeah, let's look at the division leaders. The Dodgers will keep an eye on Ohtani and Mookie Betts. You go to the Central, it's no one from the Brewers. And the East, maybe Bryce Harper is.
So by default, Bryce Harper
got a shot.
If the Phillies continue on the tear that they've been on at even a relatively same pace, I don't know how the MVP doesn't come from Philadelphia. Yeah. Unless the thinking is they're just a head and shoulders great team and it's not
the
guy.
The funny thing is, so when Trey Turner went down with his injury, he was kind of already putting himself in the MVP conversation, but now he's been out for a month, so who knows how that's going to
99 speed in MLB The Show.
Yeah, he's insane.
Got a bad off Trey Turner.
Man. A guaranteed stolen base, huh? Even more than Acuna.
That's
interesting.
Jorge Mateo for the Orioles also has 99 speed.
It is six American League teams. Teams of 30 have a winning record.
By the way, I don't know if it's leading in hits or leading in batting average, but Urias for the Marlins is the leader in one of those.
Padres. He's a Padre now.
Thank you for that correction.
How recently did that happen?
That was a couple weeks ago.
He is now a Padre. He leads Major League Baseball in one either hits or average. Not going to win it, but not quite the name. Other than that, we will get everyone out of here with two quick categories. Logan's got one more thing on baseball before we go.
Dodgers. That's hilarious. Bobby Witt second in hits.
Bobby Witt.
He's another
for the
guy
Royals.
For the Royals. You guys talked Ranger Suarez.
Yes.
The name Albert Suarez ring any bells for you? I don't know a whole lot about him. I believe he was acquired by the Orioles early this season.
Don't know old Bert Suarez.
With a 1.61 ERA, it's the lowest among pitchers with 40 innings this season.
Okay.
So
that's the trouble, though. The name, like if it's not the name, it's hard to win these awards regardless.
Ranger has at least shown that he's been a postseason performer, so people know him through that.
Yeah, I think this Albert Suarez is more of a spot starter. Like, he's not making any rotation regularly right now. I can't speak to that exactly because I know the Orioles have been having some injury issues in the pitching staff. So, the people don't love Craig Kimbrell.
No, they do not.
Is it Colton Cowser? Is this going to continue with the cowheads in the stands?
I'm kind of over it. They did a whole event the other night. Right, I saw it on Twitter.
NBA Finals.
Hold up.
Oh, more baseball?
Do you know who the Orioles are playing this weekend?
The Braves, right?
The Phillies.
Now. Oh, they play the Phillies this
weekend. It's the Phillies Orioles this weekend.
In Baltimore? Okay.
Should I go? In Baltimore.
I might go. Going home this weekend.
Boots on the ground, maybe.
Anyway, might as well mention that because we have the Phillies Orioles. Too bad we don't have a podcast coming out.
Imagine if we hear that one guy in the broadcast yelling, "Boo, David."
You just see a sign and it's like, Phillies are lame.
Do you see
get as close to the Phillies broadcast booth as possible.
Oh, no. Please get a sign that just says the Philly Minute and see if they can get
stream the Philly Minute.
The NBA Finals, not quite as exciting as would hope. It's a snoozer. The Celtics are up 2-0, and it's an easy 2-0. Although Porzingis appears he's going to be out. Yeah. Will it matter? Doesn't really look like it. I thought this would be a little more competitive. I don't have a dog in the fight.
This is what I was afraid of.
But I would have preferred. One of the only things on nationally other than baseball, and it hasn't been really fun to watch.
This is what I was afraid of, because last week when Logan predicted Celtics in six, or you said Mavericks in six, I'm like, I hope he's right and I'm wrong. When I said Celtics in six, I was giving the Mavericks a little bit of respect that maybe wasn't totally, I don't know, but it hasn't been fun.
I barely watched it.
Game two was a little bit more competitive. Game three is on Wednesday night, so you'll have the result of that by the time you're listening to this. But game two was a little bit more competitive, but it just feels like, again, I think you might have said it earlier when we were recording, but the Celtics just playing with their food. Yep. Their two stars can drive the lane and kick.
They're better.
Drive and kick. They're just good across the board.
Tatum hasn't done anything either.
No, that's the scary part. That's the issue.
He hasn't had an it game yet, exactly.
No, and they've dominated.
And it's hard for me, and this is just me being peak emotional fan, but like it's hard for me to watch the Boston crowd enjoying their team winning on home. Like I can't watch the game because I hate watching them happy. Like,
there's a reality, there's a timeline somewhere out there that Jason Tatum is a Philadelphia 76er.
There is.
What do you think's going on in that timeline? Like, six straight championships for Philly or something like that?
Probably, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Hopefully things...
There's some curse that it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Right now, as we speak, Tatum still doesn't have a ring himself.
He doesn't.
So here's my ideal scenario for how this is going to play out if the Celtics are to win. Celtics win, it can be in four games. I hope it goes more than four games just for the sake of more basketball.
Right.
But I want to see Jaylen Brown win the finals MVP. Because that becomes the next thing they can pick on Tatum for on NBA Online.
I think the front, if it ended today...
Is Tatum right now.
No, I think it's Drew Holiday.
I agree. I think it is Drew.
I've seen some stuff that he's like the beneficiary, and so his numbers are up.
Yeah,
so
you might not quite get it.
Like the betting favorite, so to speak, I think is still Tatum.
It is. Okay. Holiday's like plus 700 to actually win it, but if it ended today, I think he'd be the MVP.
And I brought this up last week, but I mean... When Andre Iguodala went to Finals MVP for a team with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, then Jrue Holiday could easily win this MVP.
Sure.
Yeah, but that hasn't happened in a while, though. The Iguodala-style MVP. It's been probably a decade now.
But to your Jaylen Brown point, Tatum's going to have to do something here in the next couple of games to get into that conversation, because I agree. I'd put Jaylen Brown ahead of him right now.
I want to see, and at this point, it seems very, very unlikely the Mavericks are going to win. I want to see Luka Doncic just have a game.
Even Derek White could have a case at the Finals MVP as it stands. Like the Celtics just have so many guys.
That's the difference. The Mavs don't have the role players. They just don't.
They did through the Western Conference Finals, but they were playing maybe above their above their head.
They were ahead of schedule. If Luka and Kyrie don't go off, and it's not enough against a team as well-rounded as Boston, but that's 2-0 right now at the time of this recording. The results will be different Friday.
Before we switch over, this is just what I love about the NBA playoffs is they started mid-April, and now they're ending. It's June. It's been a month and a half. And just the entire way the stories just changed. They just changed. So we had the Timberwolves were the big one, boat racing the Suns and then what they did in the second round. But even like if you think back to the first round, like the Paolo Banchero Magic forcing a game seven with the Cavs, like that was a great game seven. And that was like a moment you take away. The Knicks, what they were able to do, or the Knicks Philly series was a good series. It was back and forth. It had the drama. Like
seems like
Do we wish it was the Timberwolves?
No.
No?
Okay. I think, like, my mom, when I talk to my mom, she's like, what's the deal with this Luka Doncic guy? I'm like, Mom, he's awesome.
Right,
you just turn on the TV. Yeah. He's must-see TV. As much fun as Edwards was to watch on that stretch, Luka might be more exciting to watch. Maybe not as explosive with the highlight reel dunks, but...
Also, I mean, I think there's a lot more gas in the tank for the Mavericks than the Timberwolves. Okay. So
it doesn't appear so, though. And that's the thing. Yeah. The West was such a dogfight that the Celtics are... It boils my blood.
All right. That one's 2-0. We'll know more when you're listening to this on Friday. The other 2-0 series is in the NHL. That will take place. Game three will be Thursday. So, again, those results will be different when you listen to this. But as we're recording, it's 2-0 Florida over Edmonton. It goes back to Edmonton now. And in hockey, it's not a series until the home team loses. So, still very much alive. We'll see.
That Edmonton crowd in game three is probably going to be awesome.
It's going to be ridiculous, as it should be, because they're going to need it.
I was going to say, they especially need it now.
They're in a hole. We'll see. Canada's still trying to get that elusive cup again.
Florida kind of looks like the more complete team.
I think they are. I think it's...
And they have the goaltending.
Did they go to the final last year, Florida?
They lost to Vegas. In five games.
Bobrovsky and goal's been otherworldly.
He's going to win... Was it the Conn Smythe Award? Yep. He's going to win that.
He's otherworldly. And Skinner for Edmonton hasn't been terrible.
No.
It's just, again, Bobrovsky's been out of this world.
Yes.
That's been the difference.
I mean, the one thing, the shame of it for Edmonton, and it's also kind of the encouraging thing for Edmonton, is they outplayed Florida in game one.
Especially in
They shot twice as many shots as Florida did, and nothing just went through Bobrovsky. So, but then Florida was the very deserving winner of game two. Yeah. So
we'll see how it all pans out.
I haven't been paying attention. Not a huge hockey guy. Yeah. But they very well may have said this on the broadcast right now. But how far of a drive do you guys think it is from Edmonton to Sunrise,
how
Florida?
How far of a drive?
In terms of hours. I have it pulled up right in front of me.
It is the longest.
It is so far away.
It is the longest distance between any two pro sports teams in the championship in North American history. I know that.
I believe it.
Over a day.
34.
Do you have an hour's guess?
No. Not 37.
No.
28. All right.
No. 46 hours driving. Okay. It's a 7-hour, almost 8-hour flight. So even that is long. Even if you're on a charter, 8 hours is a long flight. Somebody do it.
Be a real fan and do it. Make the drive.
8-hour flight. That's literally like going from, like I did an 8-hour flight from DC to Rome, Italy when I was 13.
Somebody make the drive. Show your commitment to the Stanley Cup.
Wait. Oh, flight. I thought you said drove. No. And I was so confused.
All right. So that's it for us for the summer. We will be back sometime in mid-August to start previewing football season in both the NTL and on the New York side of the Valley. What up, Logan?
R.I.P. Jerry West.
R.I.P. Yes. Jerry
the
West.
Logo.
3-time Hall of Famer.
Only player to ever win finals MVP when his team did not also win the title.
The logo of the NBA and West Virginia University grad.
Also really built...
West Virginia. I knew he was from West Virginia.
Also built some really historic NBA teams in his time as an executive. I believe he traded for Kobe and signed Shaq in the same week when he was with the Lakers. Yeah. So,
Big-time legend in the NBA. Rest in peace to Jerry West.
This was a great episode.
This was awesome.
We're getting out of here, but this
we're getting out
53
of here.
Minutes with two, three events really on the calendar.
Covered a lot, and we will continue to do so when we return again sometime mid-August to preview football. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all the support.
We got someone else that told us they listen.
Yeah.
Out at the duels on Desmond, always cool.
Shout out to Mr. Shaw.
Yeah, shout out to Mr. Shaw and to all you that listen to us and have supported us. We really enjoy it. We look forward to... next season two of the B-Section podcast.
Maybe we'll finally have the right logo for the B-Section podcast.
We'll figure it out.
On one final note, Logan was here since last spring, so he had been here a little longer, but this podcast kind of coincided with my entire duration here. It's been a lot of fun covering this stuff the first year I've been here. Yep. So
Big shout out to Logan and David for their sports coverage on all three seasons of the area and our coverage. And again, thanks to everyone. We'll be back in August. Enjoy your summer. Yeah, the Olympics too. We should have touched on this one. Go USA.
Maybe we'll come back for an episode.
Maybe we'll do Olympic talk.
I was going to say that we did think about possibly doing some summer episodes.
Don't expect.
We'll drop
we don't
in.
Know.
We'll
though.
Drop
regularly
in.
Scheduled programming.
Yeah. Until about August. Until then, thanks again. Go out, support your community. Thanks for supporting us. Get a copy of the Morning Times and the Daily Review, and we'll see you sometime this summer.